Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, July 10th, 2020, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at page XVII, that's Roman numeral 17, in the forward to the second edition, starting with the second paragraph, beginning with a second small group. And we'll be reading through this one paragraph only, and it ends with entered the dark world of the alcoholic. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Pam M. for the 12 steps, Terry H. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Jordan L., Julie E.B., and Lynette P. Our newcomer greeter today is Kaylee R. and Janice P.M. for our announcements, and Ramona A. is recording us. Thank you all so much for your service. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, July 9th, 2020, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 14,953. That's 14953. And the share ID for this morning's 10 a.m., 7 a.m. July 10th, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,957. That's 14957. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Pam M. to read our 12 steps. Good morning, Pam. Star 1 to unmute, please, Pam.
Good morning, blessed morning, everyone. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Looking forward to hearing your shares. Thanks.
Thank you, Pam M., for your service this morning. And Terry H. will be reading our 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Terry H.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being there. My name is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater through God's grace. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprises, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Every OA group ought to be self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. And with that, I pass. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
And thank you, Terry H., for your service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book.
Hi, Sherry. Please unmute yourself.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I thought I was unmuted. Sorry about that. Well, thank you. Thank you, Terry H., for your service. This morning, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive readers only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let it please say pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the speaker should be muted. And that does include your personal mute button. Please don't use that. Just use the star 1 to mute and to unmute. That way we'll have a nice quiet meeting. And thank you for your cooperation. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. And we're in it's not a chapter. It's actually the forward to the second edition. We're on Roman numeral XVII, that's Roman numeral 17. We're at the second paragraph. A second small group starts with, and it ends with, the dark world of the alcoholic. And now we're going to have Jordan L. read that for us today. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Sherry. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be abstinent and on the line with you guys this morning. So a second small group promptly took shape at New York to be followed in 1937 with the start of a third at Cleveland. Besides these, there were scattered alcoholics who had picked up the basic ideas in Akron and New York, who were trying to form groups in other cities. By late 1937, the number of members having substantial sobriety time behind them was sufficient to convince the membership that a new light had entered the dark world of the alcoholic. And this is an interesting reading, right? Like it truly is a miracle, if you will, the way it was that Alcoholics Anonymous formed, and the fact that it formed like during the Depression era, when there wasn't a lot of money, there wasn't a lot of resources going around. There wasn't a lot, people didn't have a lot to share, you know? And in spite of that, in spite of the fact that they actually had less than years prior, they were willing to do it. In AA, they were willing to share their slim resources. And I think about that. What it would be like to be in that position, you know, where it was you're sharing all you have with this AA group and just hoping that it's gonna keep you alive, you know? Because I think they realized pretty early on that it was the group that was so special. There was no one individual that was going to keep this thing alive. Right? It wasn't about a single person. It was about the group. And it was about the ability of the group to put the good of the whole before the good of the individual, right? And it's crazy because that's what personal sobriety or abstinence takes even today, right? That's what I have to learn to do. And mind you, I don't do it perfectly, for sure. But at some point or another, I have to learn to put the good of the whole before my own ego's vanity, if you will. my own wishes and desires and all that stuff. And I do it on multiple levels. I try to do it in my own home. And even at work, and with my own group, you know, right on up to Overeaters Anonymous as a whole, you know, that's the light. That's the light that enters the dark world of the compulsive overeater. It ends our isolation. It takes us out of, our own BS, and it puts us in a position where we can help another, you know? And we're stronger all together. We're stronger as a whole, much, much stronger as a whole than we ever were as any one individual. So thank you so much for letting me share this morning. That's all I have.
Thank you so much, Jordan, for your share this morning. Thank you for getting us started. So, again, we're in the fourth to the second edition. We're on the second paragraph. That's Roman numeral XVII. That's 17, Roman numeral 17. A second small group. And then it ends with, entered the dark world of the alcoholic. So before I take names, I just want to remind everybody, although we appreciate your experience, strength, and hope, we ask if you have shared in the last 3 days to step back and let other people share. So we're asking people to share every third day. Who would like to share this morning?
Christina J.
Okay, I heard Christina J.
Jody H.
Jody H. as in Harry?
Yep.
Gotcha, Jody. Okay. Who else would like to share this morning?
Rebecca J.
And that was Rebecca J. Okay.
Donna B.
Donna B. I'll take
Cameron
one more.
Cameron C.
I heard somebody softly say something C.
Roz
Cameron.
Okay, Roz. I think I heard Roz G, and then I think I heard a Tamara.
Yep.
Okay, Tamara, I'm going to take you on the next round. You'll be the first one. What's the first initial of your last name, please?
C.
C is in Charlie. Okay, got it. All right, so... you'll be the first on our next round. I have Christina J, Jody H, Rebecca J, Donna B, and Roz G. Good morning, Christine J, and you'll be followed by Jody H. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Seriously, it's beautiful that you get on here and give your time, like all the many of the people who give service. So what is this light that has entered into the dark world of my compulsive overeating? In 2014, I heard my first vision for you OA meeting, and I heard the words sunlight of the spirit. My head blew up. That's what I had needed. That's what I was missing deep inside of me. I knew it. That was going to be the answer, but I was faced with a dilemma of how to get it. I heard on the lines people sharing, they had it, I wanted it, but it took me relapse after relapse after relapse, and today I sit here with an extremely compromised digestive system from the damage of this disease. And I've lost, at least for now, the privilege of even eating a salad or a sweet potato or any of my previous healthy abstinent foods. I have to follow an extremely limited diet in hopes of healing one day. But you know, I have to tell you, today I'm grateful for that. Because I've learned when I get a headache or I get body pains or I get fearful or resentful or frustrated, I cannot pick up anything at all to take away the pain. Any of the foods that I would pick up before to take the pain away. I am forced to sit with the pain, the fatigue, the malaise. I'm forced to live through it. I'm forced to work this program instead of playing with my abstinent foods for comfort. That's huge for me. I kept convincing myself for years that I could, I'll just have an extra banana, that'll be okay. Or I'm really tired, I could have a cup of coffee. All those things, those substances blocked me from the sunlight of the spirit. Why? Because I was using something instead of turning to God, instead of turning to my fellows. I have that sunlight of the spirit now. It streams in and fills all of me, moment after moment. But I have to take a deep breath and surrender to those moments that are presenting me with strange things, you know, like frustrating situations with people, places, and things, or fears that come out from nowhere. I can't use to get away from those anymore. God helped me. It took what it took to get me to this place. It took physical debilitation on some level. And through this process, I'm learning that turning to God, turning to you guys, turning to the steps, the program, that's what it's about. I didn't have a program like this before. You know, I cried during the 7 a.m. meeting as Harlan shared the history. And I sat here realizing that after years of horrible suffering on all levels, all levels, spiritually, emotionally, physically, shame, guilt, just being in the food constantly, how to get out of it. Because of God's work with these men in the beginning, today I can be free. And I got news for you. You can. I'm going to finish up. The gifts of this simple program of action are enormous, and they get bigger and bigger, and they never go away. Please jump in if you're here and get going. Love you all. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Christina J. And Jody H., you're up, followed by Rebecca J. Good morning, Jody H.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for your service. Can you hear me?
I can.
Can you
go
hear?
Ahead, please? Yes, I can.
Oh, you can. Okay. Thank you. Everything is going good here in Bangor, Maine. I look at this reading. I'm new to the program. I'm 6 weeks in. And I found from this reading that it is so important to realize it's the group that keeps me sober, which keeps me abstinent. I have phone numbers for people all over this country. I can call one if they're busy. I can call another one, and it keeps me abstinent. All I do is talk to another compulsive overeater, and it's amazing what happens. I don't think about food. One minute I was compulsively obsessing over food, and the next minute I'm talking to somebody in California, and I'm feeling great about myself, that I am getting better. That one day at a time, as the alcoholics often say, but we can adapt it to our program, I am one day at a time and 1 minute at a time. I'm staying abstinent, and it's a really good feeling. I feel in control, even though it's with my higher power. And I like what someone said about when you know that you're trying to be in control, but it's really your higher power that's helping you through a difficult time. I really like that. And I'm not going to ramble on because I'm new and I need the lesson, but I just wanted to share that it was a godsend yesterday when I called another overeater and had a really good conversation and got some really good hints on things that I can do to distract myself. So with that, I'll pass.
Hello?
Good morning. Thank you, Jody H. and Rebecca J. You're up, followed by Donna B. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning. Thank you, guys. My sponsor gave me the contact for this vision for you, and it has enhanced my OA sobriety dramatically. There's so much wisdom, and it's like when you read straight from the book, straight from the program, you know, it's like we can all share our interpretation and our experience and things like that, and we're really looking at the meat, you know, which is the book. So I also, you know, to talk about the reading, it's in those times of darkness that I actually find the most recovery, because like even throughout the program and throughout our lives, like first of all, I had to be in a pit of darkness to turn to my higher power and even get started in any type of recovery. That's what it took for me. And then, you know, going through the program, I feel like there's different levels of rigorous honesty, and things pop up and you have to be rigorously honest again and feel that, you know, that dark place, like, oh man, you know, I'm walking through my mind and I just fell in a hole. I didn't know that was there. Like, and it's like, oh man, this hurts. But I know that if I am rigorously honest and I push through that darkness, new birth will come. And to bring that down to earth, basically, it's like when you tear a muscle, the new one grows, right? Can't put new wine into old wineskin. So I just feel like, and also to talk about the fellowship, you know, I feel like God speaks through some people, and the program speaks through us. Once we eat the program, then we just end up talking the program, and it's such a support. And I find that when I make outreach calls, I at first was like, oh, I don't want to sponsor. It's too much work. I can't fit it in my schedule, right? And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to sponsor more and more people, because it's helping my sobriety and it's helping me not go back to the food when I'm in the red zone, and it's strengthening my recovery. And I find that I actually want to sponsor even more, like a lot of people, so I don't just get hyper focused and I don't try to run their life, because that's naturally my controlling way as a OA and alcoholic person. But it's like I can just share my experience and strength and hope with as many people as I can. That's a huge blessing. And then we can all, you know, trudge the road together in hope. And it's wonderful. So thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you, Rebecca J., for your share this morning. Good morning, Donna B. You'll be followed by Roz G. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. I'm calling from Denver, Colorado. Thank you for everyone on the line. This idea of limited resources and sharing what I'm able to share for the well-being of the group and for the support of my individual recovery is a concept that I wrestle with all the time. I have an almost 13-year-old daughter and an almost 10-year-old son. I work and I am married, and my husband has a very demanding job. In addition to all of that, I have the disease of compulsive overeating and bulimia, and I also have mental health conditions. And so for me, the limited resource of time is just challenging, and I wrestle with it a lot. And when I hear, you know, being of maximum service to God and to our fellows, because I have the thought process of black and white thinking and grandiosity, maximize to me means like maximize, you know, like as big as possible. And then I do my nightly review, and that question comes up, you know, how much have I packed into the stream of life? And yesterday I was in a very bad place. I was just so overwhelmed, And I felt like every time my children talked to me, it felt like nails on a chalkboard. I should say this was 2 days ago. And when I did my nightly review last night, after a day of setting healthy boundaries, after a day of saying, you know, no, I can't do that. I'm limited in what I can actually do. I had a much more peaceful day. And when the question came up about the stream of life, I realized that there's a difference between just stuffing crap into a porta potty and gracefully setting in service into a moving body of water, that stream of life. And I don't have a one-size-fits-all answer. I have to pray every minute for the next right thought or action. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Donna B. And Ron, before we hear from Roz G., I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're in the Forge of the Second Edition. We're on the second paragraph, a second small group. It ends with, entered the dark world of the alcoholic, and I'll be taking more names after we hear from Roz G. Good morning, Roz G.
Good morning, Sherry and everybody. I'm out and taking a walk, so you'll hear some traffic in the background. But I would like to say good morning. I'm Roz, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, and I'm sharing again because today, July the 10th of 2019, was the day that I put down cauliflower pizza. I started binging on that last year and lying to myself, saying, oh, it's cauliflower crust, so it should be okay. But that was a lie, and I got right back into binging, eating whole pizzas again. But thank God, with the help of God and hard, rigorous honesty and step work and an amazing sponsor, I haven't had to compulsively overeat for a year after being in OA for 18 years and being a relapser. But anyway, so I just want to say that in this, you know, this paragraph, I'll just talk about the new light. This past year, I've experienced a serious awakening of new lights. And the lights, I had to go to the deep, dark places. Ego reduction at depth. My sponsor had me meditate on that. What does at depth mean? Well, at depth mean going to the dark places. Because in the book it says, we neatly evaded or entirely ignored some parts of ourselves, parts of myself that I didn't want to face. I did not want to face that I didn't know how to not be jealous and envious of people. I didn't want to face that I had an enormous amount of pride. And if somebody tried to tell me something I already know, I would just turn off my brain and think, I already know that. And when I faced those things and was wrote about it, was honest about it, went through that sixth step, for me, sixth step doesn't take a few minutes. For me, sixth step takes a while. I got it. I'm getting it. It's not no way. It's like one day at a time. But I am getting it, and I am experiencing a new light. And it's so important for me to do a 10 steps every day to know who my higher power is, to have a very, you know, a good understanding so that I trust my higher power. My dog is lapping up water. Sorry for the noise. So, I'm just going to pass there and say thank you, God, for a year of abstinence, and may I continue on with God's help.
Well, thank you,
thank
Raj.
You. I pass.
And thank you, Raj G. So we are on Roman numeral XVII, that's Roman numeral 17, second paragraph. I'm going to take some more names and just reminding everybody, if you've shared in the last 3 days, we ask that you step back. We ask you to share every third day. I'm going to take Tamara C. as the first person. Who else would like to share this morning?
Lynn
F. Okay, I think I heard Lynn F. Did I hear a man named Gordon?
Georgie.
And that was Lynette P.
Oh, Lynette. Sorry about that, Lynette. Okay.
George.
George. And what's your first initial last name, George?
Edward.
Edward. Thank you, George.
Courtney. Courtney, can you give me another name?
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that, sir.
Courtney.
Courtney?
C-O-U-R-T. Courtney, yeah.
Courtney. Okay, and
Courtney,
the first initial or last name, Courtney?
Courtney.
And the first initial of your last name, Courtney?
W.
Thank you. All right, I can take two more. Who else would like to share this one? Okay. Who else? Somebody's got some noise going on in the background. Can you please star one to mute your phone, please?
Here.
Okay. Okay. Would anybody else like to share? Star one to unmute if you'd like to share this morning. Okay. We'll just go ahead and move on. All right. Tamara C., you're up, followed by Lynette P. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning. This is Tamara C., recovered in Central California. I really appreciate the service of everyone on this line, and the shares so far, I have gotten a lot out of them. And I wanted to share because I think I have a new favorite line in the big book. I love this. A new light had entered the dark world of the alcoholic. That just struck me as so powerful and beautiful. And I know it's saying that that new light entered because they were pursuing a spiritual remedy. And so my world was very dark, and it was getting darker as my disease progressed. I was not only in bondage to food, but I was in bondage to self. I had so much self-centeredness, and I didn't want to have it. I wanted to be this, like, person that other people could lean on and that made a big difference in the world, but I just couldn't get past all this self-centered fear. There was so much fear. I had no idea. I thought that was just, like, the normal, but as I get more and more recovered and have more spiritual growth, I can see my higher powers revealing to me how I just lived in fear so much. And then the fear would lead to self-pity, and the self-pity would lead to resentment. And so it was a very dark world. And now the new light is this growing relationship with my higher power. I have a lot more peace. And then the more I go along living in the steps, there's just more peace in faith that my higher power loves and accepts me just as I am. And then I can do that same thing for others and for my life. And it's just really great to to wake up and ask my higher power, you know, what can I do for you today? What can I do for others today? What's your plan? Please direct this day. And then just trust the all as well. And I don't always feel in that. I have to keep pausing, inviting my higher power in, and it comes and goes up and down. But the step work keeps me coming back to that new light. And I'm just so grateful for the steps and for those who started this fellowship and wrote this book and shared that new light with the rest of the world. Thank you. I pass.
Tamara C. And Lynette P., you're up, followed by George E. Good morning, Lynette.
Good morning, Sherry. Good morning, everybody. This is Lynette P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And as I read this paragraph, so beautiful, I see that the program AA, as it will become to be called, it's growing, it's becoming viable, sustainable, this movement, and reaching other desperate alcoholics. And they were this new light. They were carrying this spiritual new light and a new light working through them. And because that world of an alcoholic, the compulsive overeater, my world was very hopeless. It was very isolating. That's the way it was for me when I was an active compulsive overeater in my addiction. And I'm just so grateful that it took off. You know, they could see that, okay, maybe we can keep this going and reach more people, you know, successful if you want. But the momentum was there, and I'm so grateful for that. And all the other 12-step programs that came as a result of this, and there are still groups that are forming. I've, over the years, been involved with starting a couple of meetings and supporting new meetings. There are new Zoom meetings also besides the ones that have transferred to Zoom. And I find a lot of my reaching out and in the rooms. You know, there are desperate overeaters in our rooms, on our meetings. I was on a meeting a couple nights ago. It was a relapse meeting, and someone mentioned that there were no sponsors, that they couldn't find any sponsors. And, you know, immediately I sent out in the chat the website address for Vision for You and said, there are lots of sponsors here. Of course, it's my hope that they discover the meetings too. But we have a place to get guidance, and this book is guiding us through to recovery. And like it did, well, they didn't have the book then, but like those did in the beginning, so we can still take their instructions now and work with others and guide them through to the problem solver, guide them through, you know, reaching this new light. And that's my continued work, working with others, but still that work with others and my work, you know, 10 and 11 daily and maybe going through the steps sometimes again, that's my continued work. And so I'm never far from these original numbers. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Lynette, for your share. And George E., you're up, followed by Courtney W., and we might have time for more shares. Good morning, George.
Hi, this is George E., Cincinnati, Ohio. I guess I was taken by the word light, too, because I don't think we can really know what it was like in 1937. I mean, you know, there's still a lot of people out of work, and you know, there were still a lot of people who'd actually go to bars to get a meal. You know, there was maybe the reverse problem of plenty, you know. And you know, my compulsive eating started as a disease of more. But I always think in terms of history, too, and you know, we're halfway between, June the 10th. In fact, I just looked at the June the 10th reading of the VOR today. You know, 39 when the book was actually published, you know. In fact, I think only the first two chapters were published by January 39. And they weren't really published. They were mimeographed. So, you know, this was kind of that nether time when, you know, there were meetings, but there were letters being written, and, you know, phone calls were still pretty expensive. So, you know, the Oxford group was kind of doing its thing still. I mean, I know we're not supposed to mention the other program, but I keep thinking back to what I was like at 2 years sober, you know, and 2 years abstinent. For me at this point, it's probably still a dream. You know, I'm doing the best I can with what I have, you know. All right, thanks for having this meeting, and thanks for trying to keep me abstinent today. Have a great day, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Hey, George. E. And Courtney W., you're up, followed, and we might be able to take some more names. Good morning, Courtney W. Star 1 to unmute, please. Courtney? Can I be heard? Is Courtney W. here?
Yes.
Go ahead, Courtney.
I'm sorry, I was double muted.
Thank you. Go ahead, Courtney.
Yeah, just to keep it really short and sweet, I'm recovering today. I learned the hard way when I joined OA, finally. I waited a couple years to join because I found out about recovery and back when it was gray sheets in the 80s, when I was in my early 20s. And I also knew about it in the 90s. I went to a couple meetings face-to-face, and this is a phone meeting. It's a really good phone meeting. I think I might be able to start coming here to the 10 o'clock meeting more regularly. I really think that's a good idea. Talking about the dark world of the alcoholic or the compulsive overeater, I had other addictions and other problems in 12-step groups, and I had to finally work my primary couple addictions before I got to work here. So I floated here for the last 2.5 years without getting any abstinence that was worth anything. I found a sponsor, and now I have coming up, it'll be 3 months of abstinence. So I'm very excited about this. It's a new light. It's true. It's just amazing about this big book and the nuts and bolts and how it all works together. I was frantically trying to, not frantically, but I was just interested in finding the page we were on. So I was looking up Sunlight of the Spirit, Sunlight, Rigorously Honest, you know. I had my mental health difficulties. I have a little bit of a mental health problem, but I'm trying to work the program, be honest about it. I have a sponsor, like I said, I have a sponsor. And I'm just working in a step book right now on the first step. I know that a lot of people, like I in the fellowship, that we work through the steps in 6 weeks. I had some issues with that sponsor and with my own step 9, which never really quite happened officially for me with God, because people that I needed to make amends are no longer here on this planet. So just to make a long-winded attempt to stop sharing and spouting words, but I need to somehow get that clarity, you know, you get at the 8th to 9th step. That didn't quite happen for me. And so I kind of fell flat on my 10-step face because I never really was able to quite spit it out with my 9th step between me and God. I wrote down that I was sorry about my family stories and never really shared it with God because I tried to work the steps 3 times before that unsuccessfully. So I had traumatic issues in step 4 and traumatic issues finding sponsors. I had ADHD. So anyway, this is just a real good thing because I tell you right now, I'm not complaining. I'm not a victim anymore. I am really relieved, to read this reading today about the new light that has entered the dark world of all sorts of alcoholics and addicts. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Courtney W. All right. So we have time. We have about time for two more shares. Who would like to share this morning?
Lauren M.
Lauren M. I'll take one more. Who else would like to share this morning?
Doug S.
Doug S. Okay, Lauren, go ahead. You have 2.5 minutes, and Doug F. will have 2.5 minutes. Go ahead, Lauren. Good morning.
Hi, I'm Lauren M. I'm calling from Nanaimo, British Columbia, food addict, just kind of needing to come on and call myself out. I've been abstinent for 3 months now. My sponsor had to stop working with me, and ever since then I feel emotionally and mentally stuck. I have not been reaching out like I need to. I need to start making phone calls. I've been fighting this thing the entire way through, and then I eventually get willing. Had a long period of abstinence, but then a 10-year relapse. So I love the big book. It's the only thing that's ever fully described what my disease looks like, and I've been really loving this meeting, and I know that I need to start reaching out to people, and of course I'm resistant, but I'm kind of stuck on step 9, and just needed to say that. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Lauren M., and please stay after the meeting and give your name and phone number out, and there are available sponsors, so stay tuned after we close with a serenity prayer. Doug F., you're up, followed, and we'll see if we can have time for another one. Go ahead, Doug.
Thank you so much, Doug S. in Southern California, a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. That's kind of funny. I thought, well, I'll just come on. I guess higher power would like me to. And all I really can point to is what others have, this terrific line that I'm going to start with the number of members having substantial sobriety time behind them was sufficient to convince the membership that a new light had entered the dark world of the alcoholic. And there's no question in my opinion that my dark world of my compulsions, my compulsive overeating, and my addictive acting out, struggling. There's no doubt how dark that world can be. And I'm so grateful for the light, the new light. And it's sort of like a new light. The light comes and it comes and it comes and it, and wow, I didn't see that. Whoa, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. Every time I get on this meeting and I hear someone share about these, sometimes just very simple words, you know, it doesn't look very profound, you know, a little bit of information on history and so forth, and then people start sharing their experience, their strength and hope, and the light just comes on so brightly and so wonderfully. And I think the fact that the substantial amount of time had of absence of sobriety gave them proof, if you will. They were convinced that this was, hey, this is new. This is a new way. This might really work. Everything else we've tried hasn't worked. This really is working, and we're very grateful to God. I'm very grateful to God for what I found so far, and thank you so much for all your service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Doug S. That was a nice way to end, and we're going to save a little time so that we can have some newcomers call in this morning and give their phone numbers out. Okay, so thank you, everyone, for a great meeting this morning. We're going to go ahead and close, and thank you, Team Friday, for your service. And now we will close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie E.B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Julie E.B., star 1 to unmute, please. Julie E.B.? Okay. I don't hear Julie E.B. So, Lynette P., will you please step in and please read page 164? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Lynette P., Julie E.B. Okay. Sounds like neither one of them are available, so I'm going to jump in and read it. I hope I can be heard. All right. So.
Hi, it's Robin P. Do you want me to read it?
Yes, Robin P., please go ahead.
Sure. I got it right here.
Thanks, Robin.
Thanks for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.